is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. And if you can see, we're on a two-man show. Myself, Rohit. Rohit, what's going on, brother? How's life treating you?
Life is lifing, as the kids say, but I'm happy to be back. You know, this is one of those few moments of zen that you and I both get as dads of young kids. So happy to always chop it up with you and talk about four of our favorite topics from the upcoming sneaker calendar.
Yeah, and you know, it didn't just happen before. I mean, guys, me and Roy, you know, we like to be a little dad jokey. So we're like, you know what? This whole episode is going to be nothing but fours. So we're going to talk a little bit of ABC and Puma Fantastic Four collaboration, a little bit of undefeated Jordan fours, got some Kobe four Barcelonas, and then our favorite four model. So our fourth entry into a sneaker line. So if you're here for the cheesiness, We got it.
No, and not only that, we're going to take the narrative back because we always hear about how three is the magic number. Well, as it relates to this episode, it's only going to be about the faux, as Moses Malone might have said in the 1980s.
Yeah, man. So I got to ask you, because I feel like we haven't done an episode in a while together. Rocking, copping, anything special out there for you?
So I was actually able to hit in a bit of cosmic kismet, if you will. So because I live where I live and I have access to certain things that I have access to, I was pleasantly surprised as a part of my Friday morning routine to go to a certain company store. And lo and behold, the soccer revival or the football revival that Nike has been engaging in warmed my heart today because I was actually able to get the Ronaldinho T90, not Barcelona, that's for the other topic of the show, but the Brazil kit. And I was able to not only get it at the 50% discount, but then your boy, because he's a ally to all, was recently at a trivia contest scheduled at work that was benefiting some of our friends in our LGBTQIA network. And lo and behold, because I know things about things, I was able to get a $50 gift card so that Barcelona, or why do I keep saying Barcelona? It's a Freudian slip, but bear with me, listener, I'll figure this out. But that Brazil kit was whittled down to an even $25, which is saying something because this is how I know the soccer revival is real for Nike, because now we're starting to see it on sneakers and we're starting to see that there is no concept of employee pricing, and that does not warm my heart. So that was my most recent copping, and I will probably rock that at my midday soccer pickup game because I'm that type of dude that the minute I get it, I want to rock it and let the world see how much of a nerd I am. But now, Mike, what are you rocking? What are you copping?
Dude, you know, first of all, I'm right there with you. Anytime I buy a new soccer kit and I'm coaching my son's team or if I find myself in some kind of pickup game, I throw it on, which means my soccer jerseys never get to stay pristine because I wear them like I'm some kind of pro out there. God knows I'm not, but I got to look good out there in my defensive efforts.
Now, I was going to ask you, Mike, what is your position? Just so you can indulge me. So
I played like center back. I like playing defense. I don't have the greatest ball handling.
So do I.
See, look, you know, I mean, I'm just like, I'm a body. I'm going to try to outwork you the entire time and just irritate you on defense. So that's where I live.
Well, I'm glad to see you and I live on the same street. But anyway, what were you rocking? What were you copping?
Yeah, man. So rocking is one that I've been super interested in. I finally got a pair. It is going to be the Anta Kai Hella Roots. I love this shoe, man. It is a really cool, like, skate-inspired shoe that really plays off Kyrie's Native American heritage on his mom's side, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And this initially, it was super hard to get. I think it was during an NBA All-Star game, but they started releasing them more again. And just a cool shoe, man. Something different, really nice quality, really cool with the little laces everywhere. So that's what I've been rocking. I got them in yesterday or day before yesterday, and I've been wearing them. But super cool there. But speaking of football, soccer, whatever you want to call it, whatever your heart's desire, Adidas, on the other side of things, has been doing really good about their integration with the Predator, when different lifestyle models. And there was one that I was just kind of scrolling through the site. It was a new entry. Had never seen it before. They took the Predator 98 and combined it with one of their technical running shoes. So it's the Predator Run, or Predator Runner, was that they call it. It is, they put on one of the, again, super like thick foam bottoms, but they have a nice leather upper. It's actually on a FedEx truck on the way to my house right now. So that's my cop. And I'm super excited about it because I love the soccer look, but I don't want the slim down shoe all the time. I like more of the chunkier shoe, and this one kind of answered both those wants for me, so I'm excited to see how they are in person.
Oh no, it's a deceptively thick sneaker, and that's one of those things where maybe we parlay this into another episode, maybe we talk a little bit into this 444 episode, but I think it really does worth warning doing a deep dive on not only Adidas's attempts to play Dr. Frankenstein, but even something like the Nike Crypto Shop, which I still don't know if that's actually an April Fool's joke that they released a couple months later or what. But it is very interesting to me that for the longest time, the sneakers or the shoes that I figured were the sleekest were the ones that we often attribute to the pitch or indoor stuff. But now kind of seeing them take a resurgence more in the streetwear side is very interesting, because I think everybody's making a big bet, especially with the World Cup being here next year, that soccer style, soccer culture is going to be prevalent, at least for the last half of this decade. So I'm interested to see how that bet cashes out, because I do think we are starting to see, with the influx of things like the Club World Cup, Nike's scary good thing, I'm sure Adidas is also going to have a similar campaign, if not now, definitely in time for next year's World Cup, where that's how I think finally, after 50 years of hemming and hawing and prognosticating, I think soccer is finally here to stay. And it's also here to stay in a way that doesn't feel like it's a retirement home for a lot of ex-players.
Oh, for sure. And you know what? I think it's just we're finally starting to get some traction with our men's team. Our women's team has traditionally been
a powerhouse.
Yeah, a powerhouse. But now that we're getting some traction with the men as well, we're finding finding some footing. You know, what was that? The Gold Cup with the against Mexico was unfortunate, because that definitely was blown by the ref on about 20 different calls. But I will say that we're finding our own identity. I feel like we're finding this the American attitude in soccer that we find in other traditionally American sports, or sports that we're good at least. And I think we're finally getting that. And with the World Cup being here, and the World Cup, no matter what happens, America will stop for the World Cup and talk about soccer for an entire summer. So I'm pretty excited to see, again, with the style, the competition coming here, I feel like we're going to have this, like I say, a bigger influx of people wanting to be a part of soccer, whether it be in fashion culture or sport.
Yeah, and I mean, I think hashtag kits and kicks is one of those things that it's really easy to pair people like us that have inordinate amounts of sneakers, and now they're slowly discovering that there's a supplementary addiction, which is kit collecting. Let me tell you, there is nothing better than getting that off, so to speak, because it shows that not only are you a Renaissance man or a Renaissance woman, but you're active on two fronts. And it's ultimately comes back to what I call Nick Engvall's mission statement, which is, if you've listened to every episode about this, we would want you as a listener of this, and there's a good chance that this might be your first episode. If you really like this show, talk to other people about the sneakers that they're wearing, or in this case, talk to them about the kits, because that's how we build a community. That's been our tenet for the longest time. And it feels genuine enough now to say that, hey, I think it's catching on in a global, at least in a more American sense, because sometimes we have this weird xenophobic thing that America is the world. And for once, I'm glad we're kind of regressing to the mean and getting into soccer the way the rest of the world does.
Yeah. Hey, late to the party, but we still showed up, so I'm happy about it.
Exactly. Speaking of being happy, Mike, I was going to ask you, much like myself, are a big comic book nerd.
Yes, sir.
So Fantastic Four, for those of us that may be listening to this episode a little bit later, we are recording on July 25th, which is the release date for Fantastic Four. And Mike, you brought up something earlier on that I'd love to kind of get your take on, which is the Puma sneaker that is got a Fantastic Four tie-in.
Yeah, so this one's brought to us by ABC, or Advisory Board Crystals, which I wasn't really familiar with until this collaboration came out. To my knowledge, from what I've seen, it is a brand, a fashion brand, that is owned and operated by basically spouses, or soon-to-be spouse. I think it's his fiance, but Remington, is his name, and then his fiance are the sole like owners and operators of this particular company, and they got a 7-shoe with apparel collection with Puma. And they did everything from the ground up, from my understanding, which is amazing. If you guys have not gone to Twitter or wherever, I guess probably to Instagram as well, they have been not showing the shoes, but they've been showing the apparel, which I will talk about our excitement about this collection as a whole. But just if you like that kind of old school, like 90s all over print, with I think some of it's like Alex Ross's art from Fantastic Four, absolutely amazing. If I don't get anything, I would take a couple of shirts or just one shirt. But the real big story about this is we're going blind box, or in a sense what they've done is double blind box, because you're ordering this shoe, which looks to be a Puma Majesty is the model they use, because they said it was they wanted something they could easily manipulate and really express the characters on the shoe, which I can appreciate that. But you're going double blind box. So you don't know what you're getting, but you also at this point don't know what the shoes look like. And as a consumer, that is hard, I think, because the price point on this for a pair of shoes, which is a typically, when I looked at Puma's website, a $100 shoe, is raised to $199 because you are getting some very nice tie-in packaging. I got to see the packaging through Instagram, of course, through some of our friends like Andy, AD Sneaks, who got to photograph them. And packaging is the reason I would buy it. It's not the shoe. It is purely the both boxes that you're getting that have this amazing comic tie-in. But Edroid, I'm going to tag you in a second. What do you feel about this double blind box situation of not knowing what you're getting coming in?
And I think you and I both share the same opinion that we are grumpy old men that are always at our happiest when we're yelling at the invisible or visible clouds. This is one for me where I don't have time for it. Like, I guess maybe if I was entering in the infancy of my nerddom, maybe this would be cool. But I'll use the example of Dr. Doom, right? I'm a big Dr. Doom stan. Anytime something is tastefully done with Dr. Doom, I want to be at the forefront of getting that. Yep. And while Dr. Doom is one of the seven options available, I still don't know enough about it. And it's also one of those things now where, Mike, at least you gave me that dangling carrot, so to speak, about there being apparel. So maybe if there's a dope Dr. Doom shirt, I might commit to that. But it's just too much. And it's also one of those things that I get that there's a precedence being set because I think it was Asics and Kith that had released the X-Men pack a couple of years ago now. Yep. And maybe even shorter than that. It's just time is a flat circle for a lot of us. But as we kind of chat about this, the one conceit that Kip and Asics did that I think worked well for it was the fact that it was a single blind box, so to speak, to borrow the parlance that Mike was sharing, where at least I knew what I was getting into. So I could have that talk with myself of, okay, there's a very real possibility I might not get the shoe that I want, but at least I know what it kind of looks like. In this case, I'm not trying to understand, or rather, I'm not getting why they want to double blind box it. And one other point that you mentioned, Mike, the Fantastic Four, as well as their Rogues Gallery, probably is as vast of a aesthetic or a material property as we can think of. You have things like The Thing, and I would imagine that that sneaker is going to be a little bit rougher. Then you've got Invisible Woman. They could probably do a clear pack for that. You could do something for Johnny Storm. And I can go on and on down the list, and I think it's cool enough that if you've got such a variety of materials that you could leverage to tell the story of each individual character, you don't need an added gimmick of the blind box. But I don't know. I do think it's a symptom of the times that we live in that a lot of people get off on that high of, oh man, I'm about to get what I want, or the crushing realization of this is literally the one I did not want. But what do you make, Mike? Because, I mean, you're as much of a nerd superstar as I am. Like, does this appeal to you in any sense? Like, would it make even more exhilaration for you if you got this pair that you actually wanted, despite knowing, like, there's a 6 out of 7 chance you're not?
Yeah, no, and I'm right there with you, man, because with Kith, I think they were, if you had to rate the Kith Gel Light 3s, I love the Gel Light 3, one of my favorite old school runners. Execution-wise, I'd probably give them like a 6 because they weren't as exciting. Like, I feel like these are going to be exciting when they put them together. Like, oh, cool. But again, like you said, I knew the ups, I knew the downs. I knew the downside was probably pretty big because I didn't want the Rogue. I don't like green and yellow so much, or, you know, maybe, oh, I don't want the white one because it's too plain for Storm. Maybe I really want that beast colorway because I love the blue. But I knew the risk going in. This, the only upside is the box. Me, I think the box presents a awesome centerpiece, awesome talking point. But my thing is, if I'm looking purely at color palettes and characters, I don't honestly want any of the Fantastic Four. I want Silver Surfer. I want Galactus. I want Dr. Doom. Purely for aesthetics, because I know what can be done with those colors. And unless I can light my shoe on fire and it changes colors for Johnny Storm, like maybe something
burns off. And we don't condone that on this.
Don't do that. I'm being facetious right now. But you see what I mean? I'm right there with you where the downside is way too big now because A, I've never worn a Puma Majesty. B, if I'm not a person who likes, let's say, clear shoes. I don't know if the Invisible Woman is going to be clear, but let's say that's the way they go. What if I get an all-clear shoe? What am I going to do with that? Again, the idea is amazing, but I am not a nerd on the sneaker side or a comic side enough to give someone $200 to not know what I'm going to purchase. We're husbands, we're dads. We got more things to do than, like, give you a blind $200, basically.
Yeah, And I mean, the thing is as well, and it goes back to what you were talking about, the price point of the Puma Majesty is $90. If I could be as bold to make the rare cross brand comparison, this is a Reebok Club C Adidas Stan Smith Samba type shoe or sneaker, if you want to utilize that. But at the same time, I'm not paying the extra $100 just for packaging. Like, put it this way, and this is the extent of nerddom as it exists in modern day earth today. People would easily pay upwards of $50 just for the packaging, and they would be perfectly fine with it. And I think also at this point, we know enough customizers, shout out to Mario Restores, favorite one here at the Sneaker History, where if you have another one, get a blank pair, let them go wild, and then also be a part of it. And I would make the argument that it would probably cost you the same as spending the $200, and you get something that's a true unique one of one. Because if there's one thing in my dad addled mind is, if I'm going to pay extra, I want the exclusivity, or I want the rarity, or I want that uniqueness. And even though there may be 100,000 of these sneakers, and we don't even know the breakdown of each style. Like, is Dr. Doom going to be rarer than Galactus, which is going to be rarer than Thing? And it's just too much of this is ambiguous enough. And as I get older, there's one thing I crave more than anything. It's control. And I want to be able to control what I buy.
I'm right there with you, man.
And if that isn't the most Galactic-ass or Dr. Doom-ass thing, I don't know what else I can do to stay in true spirit to the comics and the source material.
Right? I mean, the older we get, the more we look like, are we the villains? We can't. We understand where they're coming from.
Oh, no, we are.
Again, idea is cool. What this is to me is not necessarily for you or I. I feel like this is more, well, I guess it, for what we do, I feel like this is more for the sneaker media side of things, which I guess it could be for us to really help to inject energy, give them a dopamine shot. Because let's be honest, with sneakers now, after the first couple of months have gone by in 2025 with a lot of like really cool things that we've gotten, I'm not really going out of my way to get a lot of things at this point. I really sat down the other day, I'm like, and there's going to be a shoe we talk about here in just a minute that's going to have the world clamoring for, but even with that one, I'm not losing sleep, for the lack of a better word. I'm not like, ooh, I have to get it. I mean, this is a way to get people talking. I mean, I know we looked at some people who posted, like, who were given the ability to photograph these just boxes. Like, so I got to speak with Andy, and they just sent the boxes to him. He does not have the shoes right now. It's literally just, they sent him a box of boxes. So even the, I guess, the people on that photography list or that seating list don't have the shoe yet, which is, I love the aspect of this because it has us to keep looking. Like, I'm super excited to see the shoes. Like, I'm really hyped to see them, but I want to see them beforehand. So I'm thinking that this is going to be very heavy shoe in the aftermarket once people open them. I think that's going to, it's going to get a second life to, ooh, I'm excited to see this box, to, okay, now I can go find the one I want. And if the prices are right, I think it'll get two kind of media runs.
Yeah, and I think that is probably the double blind box adage, so to speak, extended to life post-release. And I think that's probably the most important thing. That's how we measure a sneaker's true impact and its influence. I think the other thing that is going to be tied to it is the performance of the Fantastic Four, because it's a superhero movie in the summer. That should be as much of a layup as something can be a layup in this sense. But if it really resonates in a way that even outkicks sort of Marvel's coverage and expectation of what is a great movie, then yeah, I think you're right, Mike, because I think one of the best things about superhero movies in this sense is there's always a chance, and I use this as it relates to our podcast, there's always going to be somebody that's listening to their very first sneaker episode with us as we're chatting. And similarly, there's always going to be somebody that's going to go see their first superhero movie at Fantastic Four. And if that's the thing that causes them to get bit by the bug, then yeah, they're going to try to move heaven and earth to get what it is that they need to further reaffirm that love of not only the movie, but maybe sneakers as well. So interesting thing to watch. But I think what we can kind of surmise from this, if we had to do a TLDR about this particular topic, is cool concept, a little too gimmicky for both of us, but it's not necessarily for us then if that is the case.
Yep. And we're okay with that. And not every sneaker is going to be for us. So that's what you have to realize in sneakers. Like, not everything's made for you. They have to appease all these different pods of people. And hey, you know what? I appreciate what they're doing. I love that they're tying in, you know, one of Roy and I favorite things, comics and shoes, of course. So I love to see how it ends up, what people get, because I'm really, again, excited to see what they came up with the design, because it seems like they put a lot of work in it. But
absolutely. Mike, I guess before we move on to the topic, if you could truly pick the sneaker that you want, is it the Galactus for you or the Dr. Doom?
I'm about 50-50 on each. If I've gun to my head, I'd probably pick Galactus because I like the blue and pink combination.
Yep. And I'm kind of there with you in the sense that I'm a big Dr. Doom guy, but for whatever reason, it never seems to work when you put that green and gray together. So yeah. I'll go off the beaten path and I'll go with the thing because it's truly clobbering time for my wallet if I would actually try to buy this. And then it would be clobbering time when my wife would see the inevitable receipt as well.
Oh, no, same way. If I told Britt, it's like, hey, yeah, I bought a shoe. She said, oh, okay, that's cool. $200. All right.
There better be $100.
What does it look like? I have no idea. We'll find out together.
So death to us part. Love you.
The cop come by. Murder was justified. He did something dumb. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right. All right. Now we're talking about something next that not blind box, but a lot of chatter about this. I want to get your view on this as well because Undefeated 4. We've been hearing for the last 20 years, hey, Undefeated 4 is coming back. Undefeated 4 is coming back. Well, looks like 2025 is actually the year. Is it, what, 20th anniversary, bro, if I'm correct?
I believe it is.
And there's been a lot of speculation around it. Are we going to get two versions? One with Jumpman, one with Nike Air. One's Friends and Family, one's not. Well, it seems like that question's been answered because now the, Pandora's box has been opened. The seating started, the gifting started, so people like DJ Khaled, people like, I think, Nigel Sylvester have, and others have shown their pairs off. And now, seems like there's only one version of the shoe.
It is. And that one version of the shoe will have the original Nike Air branding, mm-hmm. whereas the friend and family or influencers or seed will have the Jumpman logo.
So who are those friends and family? If people like DJ Khaled and Nigel Sylvester are getting Nike Air on the back, who is it, Jordan and his family? Like, who is getting the shoe? Themselves?
I feel like it's that. I feel like it's going to be various bigwigs at Undefeated. Obviously, it's going to be the Murderer's Row that comprises Jordan Brand's leadership. In this instance, I don't mind because, and this may be a hot take in a sense, I always prefer the original Nike Air branding on the heel, especially as it comes to the four, than I do the Jumpman. I may be very much in the minority yet again in my life, but what about you, Mike? Like, where are you on that side of the divide?
It's never bothered me. Like, it truly doesn't. Like, you see behind me, I have a couple different fours there, mixed and matched, different branding on the back. It really doesn't bother me on which it is, because honestly, when I was able to buy shoes myself, it was all Jumpman's on the back. So it was never like, I gotta get those, because the year I was born is when the Jordan 4 came out. So clearly, I have no real dog in that fight when it comes to, I gotta have the original. It doesn't bother me. And it's funny because this is the one time I think people are on the opposite side of the fence because they're like, I gotta have the Nike Air all the time. But now the original had the Jumpman and the new version has the Nike Air. So people are flip flopping, which is kind of funny to see that. But also at the same time, I think it's one of those things that those original people who spent way too many dollars on this shoe think they have kind of a sigh of relief. Like, okay, I have an original one, which I don't think it truly matters. But
yeah. It does and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we all know as collectors ourselves, there's no rhyme or reason why certain pairs mean more to us. In this instance, you can kind of see the justification. So yeah. I get it. I think for me, what was initially a bit worrisome to me was seeing all the photos. When I think of the Undefeated 4, I think of the iconic orange. And I was not seeing that orange lace. So that's where I was slightly worried, where it's like, I would much rather it come stock with the orange laces and have the black as a supplementary pair.
Should, yeah.
And that, to me, would trump any sort of heel branding.
Yep. Did it come with the orange laces? I haven't seen any, like, what comes in a box. I just saw them open and take the shoe out.
I have not seen any orange laces, so that's one of those things where I'm hoping I can do the lace swap myself if need be, and there's nothing special about those orange Undefeated laces. But to your point, Mike, everything I see right now, it's black on black on black in terms of the heel branding, the laces. I think the only thing that's predominantly orange is the Velcro patch on the tongue itself, which is a cool wrinkle. I don't know if that was on the four.
Well, and see, I'm trying to look up the Undefeated four, like the new one, because now when you said that, I just feel like there's some differences that we're getting. Well, we love some images, guys, but I feel like everything is, this one seems a bit muted, right? Like, again, I'm not trying to say, oh, this one's not the same. Like, if I had the chance to get them for retail, heck yeah, and I'll wear the mess out of them. Like, I think it's a great shoe, great story. I never had this big connection to the Undefeated 4 personally, but there's some difference. I feel like it looks like the materials may be a little better, but I feel like they're a little bit more muted than the richer forest green or military green we got in the original model, if we look at, you know, back-to-back pictures.
Yeah, and it does kind of come back to this, that if, and listeners, love to get your thoughts, please reach out via the Discord or our reviews. Is it truly an undefeated four for you if, let's say, it does not have the Jumpman branding or it does not have the orange laces? Because I could make the argument that for a lot of people, it's not. It's a dilution of a hallowed sneaker that in a way will continue to stay hallowed, because now initially when we got news that, oh, the Undefeated 4 is going to release again, a lot of people were doing the shmoney dance, so to speak, because hey, that's a grail that's no longer a grail, and that's the best kind of grail. Yeah. But the more and more we hear about this release, the more and more I just feel like this isn't a true essence of that release in terms of its grail-like status, but rather we want to capitalize on the nostalgia of something, but we also don't want to give you everything. So I'll use this analogy. A long time ago, I bought a Lego Ferrari set. Mm-hmm. And as I was furiously building it, I realized I lost the stickers. And so I was kind of annoyed. And that sigh that you give me, Mike, lets me know you are very much a part of my tribe as well, because you would be also equally annoyed. Yes. And it got to the point where I am an overshare, as is a characteristic of the elder millennial. And I posted on my Instagram story of like, is it the same if it doesn't have the branding on it? And I believe in that informal poll, and this was about 5 years ago, 97% of people said, yes, branding is very much part of it. If you don't have the stickers, you don't have that iconic black horse, or in this case, the iconic orange laces to go with it, it's not the same.
Well, I have pulled up a picture from Hypebeast. So they have some of the product images for Undefeated, like official product images, box and everything. So it looks like we are getting orange laces. Now, the picture itself, I wish I could get a little better quality, because the orange does not look as, again, rich or as deep as the original oranges. And it could just be because maybe the picture is like a super high ISO or something on it where it looks brighter. Could be. But at least we're getting there. Well, I said we. At least everyone's getting orange laces who's getting the shoe. So that's a good thing. I do hate having to relace fours because that bottom eyelets with the plastic wings on it, I wish they just put them in there to begin with. But hey, at least you have the option. I mean, it's that was kind of things I was worried about. I'm like, people are not going to receive these well if they don't get those orange laces.
No, I mean, and I don't want to be a prognosticator, especially in the pessimistic sense, but if they don't get this right, I feel like this is going to be one of the biggest and most frequent disappointments of the year. So the bar is very high for this, as is the case for most of these grail type releases. So I'm very hopeful that Nike kind of, or rather Jordan Brand, I want to make sure we make that distinction. I'm rather hopeful that Jordan Brand does do the needful and make sure that this is as pristine and as true to the original as they possibly can have it, knowing that by doing that, they also risk the relevance and the rarity of the original model.
Now, do you think, I mean, I'm sure these aren't going to be like super available, but do you think that these will, what the kids like to call brick, do you think that there is some, I mean, it's like the Wu-Tang Dunks, for example, they're just kind of this, they're not telling the full story to get people excited per se. Like there's some, of course, they're Undefeated just posted some activation, I think in LA with these storage containers and like this LED screen on it. Of course, people are excited about it, but they have exactly, we got seven, they have basically 7 days for people to decide on the shoe because they come out next Saturday on the 2nd. With things being expensive, with shoes coming out every which way.
And this shoe will probably be one of the more pricier pair as well.
Yeah. Do you think that it will be one of those where we'll see a sellout? I'm not there. I wouldn't be dumb enough to say these wouldn't sell out. But do you think that is going to be one of those where if I go to the resale market, I can get them for retail, basically? Do you feel like this is going to have an impact enough to garner that $1,000, you know, what people look for at these resales?
I don't think they're going to get $1,000, especially if you still have a healthy supply of the original model. I think I would make the prediction that, and it's interesting you use the word brick, because I think the comparison I'm going to make is the Nigel Sylvester brick by brick fours.
I was going to ask you that too, yeah.
It's going to be that, I think. It's going to be a shoe that the more you start seeing it out in the wild, you're going to be like, damn, I really should have made it more of an effort to get this sneaker. So I could see it inflated sale that way.
Yeah.
But because of the fact that it's not necessarily as true to the original vision as you and I have chatted, mm-hmm. I would think that, let's say it caps out, and this is absurd for me to say out loud, but I would not be surprised if it caps out more around that $500 to $750 range, which is still a pretty penny in its own right.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But I guess let me ask you a question, since you asked me a question and I did you a service. If you are Jordan Brand, what sneaker would mean more to you in terms of its overall success? The Nigel Sylvester Brick by Brick 4 or the Jordan 4 Undefeated? Like, if you were Jordan Brand, which one would you prefer be more successful or be more of a street champion, so to speak, that it captures the hearts and minds?
The Brick by Brick 4, because, and I think both shoes are amazing. I mean, the Brick by Brick 4s are behind me because Nigel's personally one of my favorite athletes. But the thing is, you want that to do well because of, although you have these relationships with both Undefeated and Nigel, Nigel is a living, breathing person who you guys have to, you're putting this force behind a person. It's easy to do collaborations, and it's not like a contract where you're paying, like, hey, we have a partnership, we make XYZ collaborations. You can probably nix that anytime you want, right? But yep. You are pushing a person. This person is the face of your brand for said time when his shoes are coming out. That's the thing you want to be more successful, because this, you want kids to want to be like I say, I want to be like Mike. You want kids to be, I want to be like Nigel.
Yep.
There's something there, right? Like, the more following he has, that means the better that shoe does. And that means, hey, we can keep pumping these out. I mean, how many Undefeated 4s are we going to get? One.
I mean, not only that as well, Mike, to your point, the Undefeated story as we know it has been established. This is a victory lap. We're just cashing in on a previous success. Right now, the coolest thing about watching Nigel Sylvester, and I've made this point before in an episode, is he is the endorser that Travis Scott and Jordan Brand thinks Travis Scott is, in terms of there's an organic groundswell. There's always a sustainable and a genuine hype and buzz around, ooh, what is Nigel going to do next? Like, what's his most recent sneaker coming out? The Time by Time 1?
Yeah,
was or Time After Time.
Better, but I can't remember. Yeah, it's the black one low that's going to be a playoff the original one released back in 2016.
Yep, and it goes back to that of there is something about him that just is capturing the essence and the moment of being not only on the forefront of innovation like a lot of the sneaker companies want us to believe, but there is the community behind it, and there is the storytelling behind it, and there are all these other factors right now that if you asked a 16-year-old, hey, what is the significance from a cultural perspective, or even something as silly as the t-shirt mythology that's associated with the Undefeated 4, would they know that? Probably not, and that's not necessarily their issue, because they weren't around back then. But I'm sure that if you also ask the resident 16-year-old sneakerhead in your life, they could give you a brilliant TED Talk or podcast-level conversation around what is the Brick, what does it mean to you in the verse of the Nigel Sylvester sense, and then also, like, why is this shoe so important for you? And ultimately, that's where, if Jordan Brand does this well, maybe 20 years down the line when your daughter is having a podcast with my daughter and they're talking about the Jordan 4 re-release of the Brick by Brick, they can also have a similar conversation to how you and I just chatted about the Undefeated.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, it's like, oh my gosh, who was I speaking with? Dez from Nice Kicks. We were talking on our episode we did with him, and he made a good point. And sneakerheads are almost kind of like a endangered species, per se, because the story, and everyone wants a story, they claim that at least, but you look at kids now, and I'm talking about, let's say, let's call them 21 and younger.
Yep.
They're wearing what's comfortable, what fits their style. They can give two craps about who Michael Jordan is. But guess what? Nigel Sylvester pulls off, like, he does stuff for fashion magazines. Like, he's been on, I think, runways. He's at Fashion Week. They won't be like that guy because he's cool. Like, Undefeated is for us old guys who's like, oh, yeah, you know, Undefeated, the Kobe's, all that stuff. That's for us. That's lore to us as, like, these original sneaker type things. So, Phil, there's just a shift in things. Like, again, everyone our age that has disposable income will do everything in their power to get this shoe next week. But I feel it being a blip on the radar. Of course, by the end of the year, it'll be on Complex's top sneaker. Maybe number one. I wouldn't be surprised. Unless this release goes to complete doo-doo, and there's like five pairs, I think that it's going to end up being a shoe of the year.
You think so?
I think. Because it's the people who make the list, that's the world they live in. You know? It's not, I honestly think the Nigel should be, personally, that's still my number one shoe of the year so far.
That's going to be the sneaker of the year for me. And I know that I've also had this conversation with a lot of our listeners as well. When we're having the sneaker of year conversations, I really do think we need to split up the conversation of retro of the year versus new of the year. Because if nothing else, I'll always use the precedence of the Academy Awards. When it comes to screenplays, we have best original screenplay and we have best adapted screenplay.
Yes,
and
sir.
I think there's no Oscar that weighs more in that regard. So I think similarly, if we can make that distinction as a community or as an industry, it can only go so much better in terms of having a healthy discourse and a healthy conversation around it, rather than leaning into the toxicity of, okay, are you an old head that wants retros, or are you truly wanting something new?
Yep. Nope, I agree. And that's, again, something Nice Kicks did well with the Nice Kicks Awards. They broke it down in categories as opposed to just a generic shoot a year. Best independent shoot a year, best, you know, shoot endorsed by someone, something, best license, like when it comes like the X-Men stuff. So I really think that everyone should be going that route, because conversations like this, it gives a more rounded and more thoughtful answer than just, hey, here's 1 through 10, knowing dang well that if someone puts the 85 ones on there, it's like, that's a joke, because there's been 100, this shoe's released 100 times. Just, they put 85 in front of this one when we talk about that, so. But a shoe that I think you and I can both get excited about is another 4. It's going to be the Kobe 4 Barcelona. Now, it's not the Kobe 6 Barcelona, which is near and dear to my heart that I wish I can have a pair of. But I'm okay with this 4. It looks really good. I love the Kobe 4. What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, it goes to this. Right now, for those of us, and we're going back a little bit to the soccer kit conversation. So for the upcoming school year, or the soccer year, if you will, Barcelona's away kit will be the first kit that I can think of that will have the Kobe. And Mike, how do you pronounce the, is it Shuriken? I don't want to go Street Fighter, but that's what I'm going to go.
See, I've always heard it called the sheath. Like, it was a sheath.
The sheath?
Yeah, it's like a
sheath as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's that iconic, how would you describe it? The best way I can describe it is if you looked at a windmill but just looked at the blades, that's how I would describe that there initial conversation.
Yeah.
But whether you call it the sheath or the shuriken or however the hell you pronounce it, that is the first time that we're seeing any sort of official branding. And the other thing is, we know Kobe's a global footballer, a soccer fan. He had an iconic friendship and partnership with Ronaldinho. Mm-hmm. And the best way to bring that to its essence or bring it to reality is by giving the actual away kit of Barcelona this year and having it go back to the Kobe mythology, Kobe iconography, if you will, because if you look at the kit, it is a, dare I say, a muted yellow or a team gold, as I believe the parlance is, and then it's also got that familiar purple hint that if you're a Laker fan, you just know that purple and gold means the Lakers. And as is the case with Nike, anytime we have a high release or a high profile release like this, we know that there's going to be supplementary factors. So in this regard, with regard to our 444 episode, we know that the Kobe 4, like Mike had mentioned, is getting its first Barcelona treatment, because I think we've seen instances of the 6 get it. We've got some unofficial instances of other models as well. But for me, I think this is the rare new Kobe 4 that I'm actually interested in, because I think as this Kobe rollout has gone on and we start to see the Jordanification of the Kobe line, it's getting to that point now where if you want to make the argument that what are people's real frustrations with Jordan constantly retro in certain models is, the stories don't feel organic, or they just feel like a cash grab. For whatever reason, this makes sense to me. It feels within the spirit of it, given Kobe's nature and relationship with the sport of soccer or football. But Mike, what do you think? I know you're actually coaching your son's team this year. Like, does this get you hyped up?
It does. I really actually want a pair of these. This is one of the few shoes like left in the year that I'm super like, all right, I will go out of my way to try to get these, because again, it goes back to that, was it that picture and him and Ronaldinho, like, on that bench, he has, like, the Barcelona jersey on, and he has the sixes on. It just goes back, like, those are things I remember, and, like, him being a big, like, say, avid football fan. And I, man, this one looks good. I like it. I've always been a fan of the 4. Not my favorite model, but it looks good casually as well as on the court. I love this color. It's not something you typically see on a Kobe. Like I said, it's kind of this, they call it Persian violet. It almost has this bluish hue to it. It goes along with this muted like matte gold. It's just a good looking shoe, something different. And like you said, we're starting to get newer stories on the Kobe's that leaning into some of the things he was interested in, of course, some of the different aspects of his life to make these shoes. So I'm really excited that it's just not the same, like they're just rehashing the retro. So again, I will try my best to get them. I mean, I know with Kobe's, I don't ever, you know, bank on it. They're getting a little easier to get, I'll say.
Shout out to Vanessa and the Bryant Foundation for coming through on that front. But yeah.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. I definitely will try. I don't know the exact release date. It just says 2025 looks like fall, maybe. Yeah. I don't know exactly.
So that's the thing as well, because I know that the kit itself is coming out next week. And so my thought is, if the kit is coming out, I would expect that the sneaker, and then also we would be remiss if we also didn't talk about, there's a second sneaker as well, which is a Kobe Air Force One Low, which is more in line with that Persian Violet that Mike had alluded to earlier. So I would say at the very minimum, we get it, let's say end of summer, but I think to your point as well, back to school season is here. And if I remember my time in the summer, it's like, it's all about getting those fits. And one of the best ways to get your fits off is to get your favorite soccer team or football team's kit of choice in there. So I would assume that we're not going to get this any later than mid September.
No, I would agree. And see, yeah, they don't have a release date on Air Force One either. So this one definitely, I think it was going to be one of those. Was it on the sneakers app to have that Kobe Vault thing now? I've looked into it once, honestly. I think happening there. I don't know.
No, I like to just think of it as a reminder of all the pairs you probably didn't get as a human being.
Story of my life. And they're like, oh, yeah, I didn't get those. Oh, I wish I had.
And to your point as well, Mike, it's getting a little bit easier to get them. And that helps us out in the sense, because I think if nothing else, I would love to see the Kobe kind of turn into the basketball equivalent of a Chuck, where it seems like it is the most well-regarded performance shoe. Like, you still see a lot of people in both leagues wear them. You see a lot of the AAU circuit adorned in Kobe. So why not continue to make it a very ubiquitous sneaker in that regard?
Yeah, no, I agree. And with them coming out with the Kobe 3, but also they're making a Kobe 3 Low, which I am super excited about. Have you seen that yet?
I have not. In fact, you've broken news for me. Yeah. So now I'm going. That's interesting.
Never been. That's just a new sneaker. This is the first time they're going to do that. And I know
I'm
this
more
is
likely
gonna be
to get the three than the low than the high. So
yeah,
I'm intrigued.
I really want to see how people react to this, because people really like to poo-poo on the three, which I think the three is really cool for a performance basketball. Not necessarily want to wear in the streets, but it's a cool looking shoe, concept wise. And with it being a low,
I don't even know if it's a hot take or it's just a take. I think every Kobe sneaker is better served as a low cut.
You know what? I'm not mad at that. Maybe not the one, because it's like a Timberland boot.
Yeah.
But I get with you the rest of it, though, because ever since the four, like, once you knew it can get low cut, that's what you knew Kobe for. So anything high, unless it's that United Re-Rise Hyperdunk, we want a low Kobe.
And I will say this, a belabored and very late Coppin and Rock, and I was able to get the Hyper Smash Low in the United We Rise. I don't know why I'm taking so long. I guess it's – I was able to get the United Jiminy Christmas. Nick, I'm so sorry you have to edit all those. I was trying
just
to
– leave it in.
Yeah, just sneak it in. In fact, keep it in, so that way I'll learn from my mistakes. But the United We Rise Hyper Dunk High, which now beget probably one of my favorite sneakers of the year in the adapted screenplay category of the Hyper Smash. That's got the same colorway, and the amount of compliments I've got on that lets me know that certain sneakers are just better built to be low cuts. So,
oh yeah. Well, and I don't want to go too far on a tangent here, because this is one I want to ask you. If I don't see a direct replica of the United Re-Rise sneaker on somebody in the U.S. Open, with the laser etching and everything on that Hyper Smash, I am going to go fight somebody at Nike, because how do you release that shoe? Have the U.S. Open coming in a month and a half, and we don't have a direct replica of the Olympic pair on one of our Nike athletes?
Now, I mean, I was going to ask you this, Mike. Is there a tennis star, because you're much more familiar with that vein than I am, that reveres Kobe the same way that Federer revered Jordan? Because to your point, if it's, let's say, I'm making this up, let's say it's Sinner or Alcaraz, like, use him as an opportunity and then tie it back to probably one of my favorite sneaker releases of that mid-teens era, which was the AJ Vapor 3 when it first was released on the U.S. Open. Like, you're leaving money on the table.
Well, I think – I got to look again, because I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think Naomi Osaka, who's a Nike athlete, I think she was a
which, like, even better then, because Kobe. I think – yeah, because if we've learned one thing in a post-Kobe world, that his most astute and disciplined pupils were, ironically, Sabrina, Caitlin. Mm-hmm. So why not Naomi, who I believe is from LA, who, if I remember correctly, has that iconic 824 jersey. So,
I think so
whatever
her
– yeah, that make it happen.
And, like, I'm just giving away free ideas, but whatever. If I see that, I just – look – And they're not going to pay me. Just send me and roll with the shoes. But, dude.
Oh, I have another idea, right? And granted, this one is probably in a little bit more poor taste now because of the fact that the term Alcatraz has been co-opted.
Oh, yeah, you can't use it.
But the thing I would always use, because I think, and this is my armchair psychologist creative mind, is when you're playing Carlos Alcaraz, it's like being on an island. You're just there by yourself and you're just trying to endure whatever he throws your way, and it's like escaping from Alcatraz. And one of my favorite sneakers is the Revis, and that used to be an island as well, so why not tie that back.
Yeah,
rebranded that, because if we can live in an era where a Kobe 1 and a 2 in an Adidas sense can be called the crazy 1 and crazy 2, why not do the same, Nike? But alas, we've given away enough free ideas. Mike, anything else before we hang up for the day?
No, man. I think we talked a lot of good stuff today. Again, I think we got some cool things coming down the pipeline when it comes to sneakers. Again, I just think people are getting picky now. Things are expensive, like, so people have to be picky, so it's not as hype if people, you know, would like it to be. People are just like kind of like, oh, why aren't more people wearing sneakers as well? Crap's expensive. But I think just enjoy it. Like, you can enjoy it from afar. There's a lot of things I enjoy from afar. I think Roy can probably attest to the same thing. And, yeah, man, just wear your shoes and compliment somebody else when you see them.
Yep. That's the Nick Engvall motto, and that's what you're going to hear once we stop talking. So if you guys like this episode, if this is your first episode, please do us the bare minimum, which is like, review, subscribe. Join us on our Discord. Join us on our Patreon. All the things, all the worlds, all the peoples. Mike, thank you as always, and we look forward to chatting with you in the future.
Yeah, guys, hit that subscribe button, listen to the podcast, and until next time, see ya.
Peace.
Hey, everyone, this is Nick again. Before you take off, do us a solid and head over to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review. Give us a rating on Spotify and Amazon Music, and make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel because we have even more video content coming soon. Speaking of new content, we have an amazing community of sneaker enthusiasts that hang out in our Sneaker History Discord on a daily basis. While sneakers is a connection point that brought us all together, we've all discovered countless shared passions that we have in common with each other. We recently launched a couple of new podcasts directly from our community. One of them is a Formula One podcast. If you're an F1 fan like me, the Exhaust Notes podcast is your weekly fix of Formula One fun. It's hosted by myself, Rohit Malhotra, and Todd Yates. New episodes drop every Tuesday. I've been wearing fitted hats for years and collecting my favorite teams since I was a little leaguer. It has been awesome to see so many new fans getting into fitteds in recent years. Crown & Stitch is our new talk show about fitted hats with Dexter, Keith, and myself, where we talk about fitted hats, snapbacks, throw in some obscure hats because we all kind of like some funky stuff once in a while, don't we? Copping, collecting, and so much more. New episodes drop every Wednesday. Hit the links in the show notes for this episode to give our new shows a listen, and be on the lookout for more new podcasts dropping soon. Last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to have someone show their appreciation. Thank you all for the support, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Peace.